Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty,
Power to the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross in his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. So that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. And that you were called out of the
dark
into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, mercy made us the people. Now we are the people.
Come on, put your hands together. Yeah. Trespass is love.
Imaginable of people, you are the power of any kingdom forever. Forever. We pray that you come.
Let you
come.
But in the
kingdom. Forever. Your kingdom is forever.
Shabbat Shalom, Koli Israel. You are listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Rahab Ben Yaakov, joined with you on this beautiful Shabbat day once again that the Most High has allowed us to see, that we might be in fellowship with one another through the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of the Most High. For our fellowship is truly with the Father and the Son, and all the believers, Israelite believers, who have separated themselves from the filthiness and wickedness of this world and have joined themselves to the covenant of Yah through obedience to the commandments, laws, and statutes of the Most High and faith in Yahshua HaMashiach. Once again, you are listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Rahab Pathwell Ben Yaakov, join with you on this beautiful Shabbat day. And once again, we have come before you, my brothers and sisters, in all humbleness, yet with boldness, yet with the anointing and unction of the Most High, to declare unto you another teaching that will bring clarity and preciseness to the word of the Most High, to Scripture, that you might walk in understanding and knowledge. As I truly believe and I know that the Most High has called me and giving me the ministry gift of a raha, or English word would be pastor, my job is to bring knowledge and understanding to Yah's word and to feed Yah's people with knowledge and understanding of Yah's word. And we pray that I will accomplish that for you, my brothers and sisters, today in meekness and humbleness of spirit and by the Spirit of the Most High, to be able to expound upon that which is already written. I want to clarify and verify one thing before we go get into this teaching today, is that those of you who are tuned to this broadcast, I am not here to give you my own opinion. I'm not here to give you some theology or philosophy of man or tradition of man. I am here simply to expound upon that which is already written, that which you can already read and see and understand for your own self. But a lot of times, though, when we read the scriptures, we don't actually see or understand exactly what we're reading. So that's my job and my calling from the Most High, to bring understanding and knowledge to what is already written, not to add nor to diminish from Yah's word. I want to talk about this subject again. We talked about it last Shabbat concerning what is the meaning of respecter of persons. And does Yah have respect towards men or towards individuals? That verse, this verse, respect a person, this topic, is one of the most misinterpreted verses of Scripture in Scripture today. And when you talk about racism, when you talk about the true Hebrews or the true Israelite, Yah's chosen elect people, you mainly have those of Gentile descent, or we call them Caucasians, or better terminology that they have made for themselves, white people today. Now, use that terminology. And you know something else? And I know I'm being a little jibber-jabberish right now, but you know something else? When you talk about subjects like this, you have Gentile believers or Caucasian believers, the first thing they want to do is attack you and say that you're being racist, or it doesn't matter, or so forth and so on. But they do not consider that their ancestors were the ones that invented racism in the first place. Most High has never invented racism, all right? He never invented that, okay? That was invented and perpetrated by people who call themselves white people. But yet when I talk about racist issues and things of that nature that are going on in the world today and expose some of the fundamental details of white supremacy and where it comes from in this agenda, then all of a sudden I'm a racist, because as a believer, as a man of Yah, I'm speaking out against injustice that's being perpetrated against Israel, true Israel, and not only Israel, but humanity, okay? Yah hates injustice, period. It doesn't make no difference who is perpetrated against. Yah hates injustice. And if we say that we are commandment believers, then our understanding of Yah's commandments should bring us to two conclusions. That everything that Yah does, every commandment and precept that he commands us to do, is founded upon judgment and justice. Everything that Yah does is in truth, it's in judgment, and it's in justice. These are three main principles of how Yah functions. And if we are those who follow Yah and follow Messiah, then when we see injustice, then we're going to speak out against that, because the commandments and the laws and statutes of the Most High teaches us that we should be equal and show equity and justice and judge in righteous judgment concerning all matters. So when you have men or women that speak out against injustices and things of that nature that's being perpetrated against Israelite people or humanity per se in general, then you want to have these jellyback cowards, believers who call themselves believers. They want to ridicule you and accuse you of pointing fingers, but yet they point the finger at messengers and men who have been called to speak out against wickedness and unrighteousness. And I'm telling you, people out there, you better be careful who you open up your mouth to and who you criticize, especially if the one that you criticize is speaking truth and walking in righteousness and has been ordained and called by Yah to speak on certain issues, and you speak out against that person because of your own ignorance, you better be careful. You better be careful. So what we find is that people want to use this verse, oh, Yah is not a respecter of person. When you talk about Messiah being a person of color, and that this white false Messiah that has been perpetrated by the agenda of white supremacy, all right, then they want to say, oh, well, you know, we don't know exactly how he looked. The scripture tells us those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, and Yah has no respect of persons. They don't understand what that phrase even means. What does it imply? That's why I tell people all the time, those of you who frequently listen to my broadcast, you will always hear me say that scripture has a right content in which it is used for. Now, can we draw different analogies that associate with our life today and use those analogies to impact our life in a beneficial or improve our life in a beneficial manner? Yes, we can. But ultimately, scripture has a content in which it is used for. And in order to understand scripture, we must first define it in its right context and what it was written for and what it was perpetrated for. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose all sense and all knowledge and all understanding of what Yah is trying to convey unto us. You know, I'm tired of these lame excuses that people want to perpetrate and say, you know, and they have no understanding or no knowledge of what they are saying. It's very important that we gain knowledge, that we gain understanding. That's why Solomon writes in the book of Michelle Proverbs, he said, wisdom is the principal thing. But in all thy getting, he says what? You get understanding. Wisdom means nothing to an individual. Learning means nothing to an individual unless they have understanding of the wisdom, or if they have knowledge of the learning in which they have received. Because the understanding of the wisdom allow you to function and to operate and to rightfully disseminate that wisdom as you have received. And without the understanding along with wisdom, then your wisdom is dead. It has no life. It has no substance. That's why in all our getting, we have to get understanding. In all our getting of wisdom, in all our getting of learning, we have to have understanding. Because you can learn something and not understand it. You can receive body of information, but do not know how to apply that application of learning to your life. That's where understanding comes in. When a person understands wisdom, or when a person have knowledge of something that they have learned, they first apply those applications of learning and wisdom to their life, and you will see the fruitfulness in their life first. So how can you, listen to this, people, listen to me, my brothers and sisters, how can we effectively impart knowledge and understanding into people when we're not walking, when we don't understand the learning and wisdom that we so-called have received? It's impossible. That's why the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. You have to partake of the fruit of your own life. You have to take evaluation and examine your deeds and your actions and make sure that the learning that you're receiving from the Ruach HaKodesh, or the learning that you're receiving from a brother or from a sister, if it be true, then you apply that learning to your life. That's how you gain understanding and knowledge of what has been taught, or what you are learning, or the wisdom that you're receiving. And because we do not exercise this simple practice, then we don't see the power and the effectiveness of Yah's word in our lives. So we have to deal with real issues. Racism is real. It's much alive today as it was 400 years ago. And if we continue to make up excuses and say, well, Yah's not the respecter of a person, respect that person has nothing to do with it. And if we use that phrase, respect a person, Yah's not a respecter of a person, if we use that phrase in its rightful content, that means Yah's going to judge righteously, and he's going to judge in equity, and he's going to hold those who are responsible for this injustice and for this the things that we are seeing perpetrated against Israel today. He's going to judge righteously if that be the case. That doesn't mean that he does not favor Israel above all the other nations. That respect the person has nothing to do with the favor and who Yah has chosen to be his people. It has nothing to do with that. When you go look at the scriptures that are relating to Yah not having respect the person, you have to understand the main idea of the chapter and the verse. That's one thing I learned in school. And I was very good. I love reading literature and English. I used to love those subjects, and science too. I used to love science, biology and stuff like that. And one of the things that I remember being taught is being able to identify the main idea of the sentence. See, people, or the main idea of the paragraph or sentence. See, the adjectives, the verbs, and the nouns are only words to express the main focus and the main idea of the paragraph or of the sentence. All the other words really have no relevancy. They only point you to one adjective. So for us to understand Yah's word or the chapter or what we're reading, we have to understand the main idea of the verse or of the chapter. If we don't understand the main idea of the chapter, then we're going to misinterpretate the idea of the purpose in which the chapter or the verse was written for. And that's what many people do with this phrase of Yah's not a respecter of person. It has nothing to do with the injustice or with the things that are being perpetrated, or it has nothing to do with Yah favoring one above the other, okay? And we're going to deal with that. I'm going to show you in scripture that Yah had respect towards men and men in general. And then we're going to deal with the aspect of Yah not being a respecter of persons. There is a vast difference when you read the verses in the scriptures, and when you begin to understand what the main idea of the verse and the main idea of the chapter is talking about concerning these two topics or these two analogies or terminologies, okay? Once again, I do want to inform my listeners, those of you who tune to the broadcast, you're listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Raha Pathwell Ben Yaakov. I have an announcement that I do want to make before we get into the teaching. I am planning and will be in Louisville, Kentucky, on the Sabbath of September the 12th. That Sabbath day, September the 12th, I will be with Zakin and Morey Abraham Ben Malik. There, he is the under-shepherd and elder of Hamashiach Temple there in Louisville, Kentucky. I will be teaching that morning. I will be teaching the evening of the Shabbat. And then on the first day, which is Sunday, they're going to have a community outreach there in their local community where their facility is, where they hold their meetings and stuff. And I will be teaching and bringing forth the evening message for the community event, all right? Those of you that are in that area, I want to beseech you to come out that Sabbath day, come out that Sunday and join with us as we bring forth the word of the Most High, as we reach out to the people in the community to try to be a beacon of light, of truth, and of righteousness to bring them back unto the Father, bring them back unto Yah. So I will be in Louisville, Kentucky. I will be teaching on that Shabbat, which will be the 12th, I believe. And I'm going to post the a event page of that on my Facebook page, and I get more details and phone numbers and stuff. Those of you who would like to participate, you can call Zakin Abraham. He can give you more details on the meeting and everything. So I will be in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been praying. I've been seeking the Most High. I'm gonna have different teachings for that morning and for that evening and for that Sunday evening service. Okay, so we're gonna have different teachings and some things that Most High put in my heart, prophetic things, very powerful, dynamic things that I want to discuss and teach and preach about. All right, so I just want to let you all know that I will be in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have any more questions, you can either contact me at TrueRemnantMinistry@gmail.com or you can call me at 573-944-6786. Leave a voicemail on my voicemail machine with a detailed message with your name and number, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. All right, so we want to get into this message today, and I want to first read some scriptures. Read some scriptures. Let's go to Amos chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 2. Amos chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 2. Todaya. Amos chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 2. Now look at this. This is Yah speaking by the prophet Amos. It says here, this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Mizraim or Egypt, saying, look at verse 2. He said, you only, that Hebrew word is rach in the Hebrew. It means you alone, you only have I known. This word known in the Hebrew is yada, which means to observe, to recognize, to care, to distinguish. It also means punish. It also means acknowledge or I've been acquainted with, to regard, to respect. That's what this word yada means. It means to respect. So when Yah says, you only have I yada, he's meaning that you are the only people, the only family out of the whole earth, out of the families of the earth, the tribes of the earth, the nations of the earth, the nationalities of the earth, that I recognize, that I have instructed, that I have designated, that I have considered, and not only that, have I regarded and have I respect. He said, out of all the families, you are the only family that I have yada, that I have known of all the families of the earth. He said, therefore, I will punish you all for your iniquity. See, that's why Yah's punishing us. Because Yah says, you're the only family. I've chosen you, Israel. I elected you. Out of all the families of the earth, it's only you that I have have recognized. It's only you that I have designated. It's only you that I have chosen. It's only you that I have respect for. And because of your iniquities, because you have sinned against me in lawlessness, Yah says, he says, I'm going to punish you. And we see that today. Israel is still being punished. I'm not talking about these Ashkenazi Jews over here in Israel today. These are false imposters. They have been invented by this white agenda, if I may use this term, this white agenda to replace the true house of Israel, those who are still scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. The only time that Israel, the true house of Israel, shall be restored is not going to be by some type of UN council or NATO council or global council. It's not going to be by that. Messiah himself, Yah himself, said that he will come and he will gather out of the four winds, the four corners of the earth, the outcasts of Israel. He's going to gather them and put them back into their inheritance, their land, okay? Not by the means of man's doing or this wicked society that we live in, all right? This has been orchestrated by the diabolical plan of HaSatan to replace and to allow the world to think and to brainwash the people of the world to think that these people are the set apart and the true chosen people of the Most High. So in this verse, we have people that say Yah has no respect to person, and the word does say that. So does this sound that Yah has respect to persons or to persons or to a people? Is this an oxymoron here, Amos chapter 32? How do you explain this? If Yah says that he is only recognized Yada, Israel, out of all the families of the earth, does that sound like partiality to you or favoritism? So how does respect the person fit within? How do you explain that? Where's the correspondence? Is it the same or is it different? And see, these are the questions that these people that say these things, they cannot give you no answer for, because they don't understand it themselves. They don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea of what they are talking about. No idea whatsoever. That's why we have to rightly divide the word of truth. Here a little, there a little. Yah says, he said, to whom will I teach knowledge? He says, it's going to be those that are weaned from the breast. So you got a whole bunch of babes out here making, saying things and quoting scriptures out of context. They don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea. So how do you explain this verse? Because when I read this verse, it seems to me that Yah has favor, or he has chosen, or either he's partial or there's partiality there, because he said that there's no other family, no other nation, no other ethnicity, no other race of people on the face of the earth that he has known or recognized or have respect to. That's what the word Yada means, or designated, other than Israel. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Look at what Saul says. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Now I got one more verse I want to read concerning this, and then we're going to get into the depths of this teaching today. So I will say, for I am not ashamed of the Bezorach, the message of Messiah, for it is the power of Yah of Elohim unto salvation, unto salvation, unto salvation, to everyone, that doesn't exclude anybody, to everyone that believeth. But now look at this. He puts a preface on this now. He said, yes, he said, I'm not ashamed of the Bezorach, of the message of Yahshua HaMashiach, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believeth, okay? There's no discrimination in that. But look what he says. Look what he goes on to say. To the Israelite first. Okay. So it's salvation to everyone. Why does it make a difference that it's to Israel first? He says to Israel first, and to the Gentile, or the going Gentile, and also to the Gentile. So that means that the Gentile is secondary, and the Israelite is first. Salvation, the message of Messiah, is first for Israel. So you mean to tell me that if Yah doesn't have any respect of a person, then what difference does it make that salvation is for Israel first? Did the Apostle Paul, did he lie? Is the Apostle Paul teaching false doctrine then? How do you explain that in the light of Yah having no respect of a person, if that be the case? And if Yah does not have respect of a person, why does it have to be written in Scripture that salvation is for Israel first then, if it doesn't have any type of significance or it doesn't matter? Let's look at what Yahshua says. Let's look at what Messiah says. HaMashiach. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. This is what Messiah said. He said, these 12 Yahshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of what? The Gentiles. And into the cities of Samaria enter you not, but go rather. He said, I would rather you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So he said, look, he told his disciples, he said, look, he said, I want you going to the Gentiles. I don't want you going into Samaria. He said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Because salvation belongs, the kingdom of Yah belongs to Israel first. Now, did Messiah have respect to person? We're going to read in this teaching that Saul said, Apostle Paul said, that Messiah, there's no respect to person with Messiah. So how do you explain that in the light of Messiah telling his disciples to go to Israel and don't go to the Gentiles? We're going to explain that as of now. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. I want to show you, everywhere you see respect to person, you're going to see this word associated with it. And this is the association that this word, in the context of this phrase and term, this is how it should be used. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. When y'all talking about respect to a person, it is only in reference to judgment, to judging or the sentencing of an individual, whether they have broke the law of Yah or whether they are not guilty of breaking the law of Yah. Now look at this, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Look at what the word says here. I want to give you time to get there so you can see it for yourself, all right? I want you to see this for yourself. Todah Yah. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, he said, you shall do no unrighteousness in what? Judgment. So he's talking about judgment. He's telling you, you shall not asa, you shall not do no unrighteousness in judgment, which the Hebrew word for judgment is mishpat, which means verdict, favorably or unfavorably pronounced, especially a sentence or form of decree, human or divine law, individually or collectively, including the act, the place, the suit, the crime, the penalty, justice, right, privilege, statutory, and customary. This is what it's talking about. Determination of crime, to be judged, judgment, justice, justly, manner of law, or lawful, ordinance, sentence. This is what this word is referring to. So when Yah says that you should not have no respect to person, he's talking about in sentencing a determination, a verdict, whether it's favorable or unfavorable. You don't have respect to a person in regards to judgment, but you judge in equity and in righteousness. It doesn't make any difference the status of an individual. So he's saying don't have respect to status. When he used the word person, he's talking about don't have respect to a status of an individual, whether they be rich or poor. If a poor man has broken the law, then you judge him according to what he has done, his deeds and actions. If a rich man has broken the law, then you judge that rich man based on his action or what he has perpetrated. You do not alter it because the rich man is able to give you a gift or able to make you rich or tries to do something to bribe you. But you do it because he has perpetrated something against the commandment of Yah. That is what a respect a person is referencing to. That's what it's referencing to. So if we use the analogy, Yah doesn't have a respect a person in the light of the injustice that is going on in the world today perpetrated by Caucasians, even people of our own ethnicity. All right? Even people of our own ethnicity. If Yah doesn't have respect to person, that means he's going to judge in righteousness. He's going to get to the root of the matter. And the people that are responsible, the nation that is responsible today for everything that has happened to Scripture, the falsifying of Scripture, when you look in the King James Version today or the renditions of the English versions of Scriptures, you don't see a Hamite or an African name replacing the true name of the Messiah. You see a Greek, Europeanized name that has replaced the Hebrew name of Messiah. The image that is depicted today of Messiah is not an image of an African or of a black person, or of a person of color. Century ago it was, though. When you go back and look at some of the older paintings of Messiah, he was a black man with woolly hair. But that image was changed to an image to depict someone of European descent. This was not done by a black person, if I may use that term, or a person of color. This was done by white people, whether we like it or not. Who controls the world today? White, wealthy people. They control the media. They control the music industry. They control everything. Now, when we get to the crux of the matter, the reason why these things have happened and because this particular replacement has happened is because Israel have fallen. Even Saul says that. He said because of the fall of Israel, then salvation is made available to the Gentiles or to the world today because of the fall of Israel. All right? In the book of Romans, I believe it's Romans chapter 11, he talks about that. But because we have fallen from the covenant of Yah and have not uphold his covenant, then he's punishing us. He told us in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if we did not uphold his covenant, that all these curses will come upon us. He said the stranger, the Gentile, would get high above us and we would become very low. And that's what has happened as a result of our forefathers' disobedience and as a result of our present-day disobedience, okay? But that does not mean that y'all still not going to judge in righteousness. It does not mean that y'all is not going to reverse that because he's going to call a remnant of the house of Israel. And they shall return back to him in righteousness. And by that remnant, Yah shall reinstitute and reestablish Israel as a nation of people upon the face of the earth. And Messiah shall reign as king. So that Yah. So it's very important for us to understand. Very important for us to understand this. So when we look at this verse, we see that Yah is only referring this to judgment. He's only referring this to judgment. Let's continue on. He said, you should not do any unrighteousness in judgment. You should not respect the person. When we look at this word respect in the Hebrew here is nasa, which means to extol, to help, high, magnify, pardon or obtain, receive, regard. It also means to lift, or to exact. or to exalt self. All right? He said, you shall not respect the person. When you look up this word person, the Hebrew word is panim, which is referred to the countenance. It's referred to the countenance of an individual or the face. The face. It also means the forefront. It also means the front of the person. The person. That word, panim. So this particular Hebrew word is referring to the countenance or the outward appearance or the status of an individual. Whether that person dressed in rags, whether he looks poor, or whether the person is dressed like a wealthy man. You don't regard that in judgment, okay? He says, you shall not have respect the person of the poor, nor of the honor, or nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall you what? You shall shafat. You shall shafat. That word shafat means to judge, to govern, to vindicate or punish, to defend or execute judgment, to shafat. So this respect of a person, when you look at this in scripture, respect of a person, that term right there, you're going to see that it's always associated with shafat, the Hebrew word shafat, judge, and judgment, mishpah, because that's what it's talking about, to vindicate or to punish in a jurisdictional setting. That's what it's talking about. There's the context of what this word is referred to. It's not talking about Yah doesn't have favor on this one, and he has the same favor on this person than he do that person. That's not true. Yah doesn't have respect to person when it comes to judgment, because if the Israelites sin and the Gentile does that is pleasing before Yah, Yah's going to reward that Gentile for his righteousness. He's going to punish the Israelite for his sin, okay? If the Israelites sin and the Gentile sin, he's going to punish them both for what they have done. That's how Yah judges things. But that doesn't mean that Yah has not favored Israel over all the other nations, because it is Israel that he has known out of all the other nations. And there are numerous scriptures that prove that Yah favors Israel above all the other nations of the world. That's why Israel is his elect. When you go to Isaiah chapter 45 verse 4, it tells you, he said, Israel is my elect. There's no other elect people except Israel. Israel is Yah's elect. He has chosen and elected them. I did a whole series of teachings on that. If you have not heard that message, you need to go back to my blog talk profile, which is True Remnant Ministry, and look for the Elect series. That is a very dynamic teaching, one that we all need to understand. So this terminology is only referred to judgment. Let's also go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 19. Once again, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 19. Now, this is the account of when Moshe's father-in-law came to him and said, look, man, you're going to wear yourself out sitting here all day judging these people. He said, you choose from among you able men in whom you can put some of the responsibility on, let them judge, let them make assessments, and the matters that's too hard for you, you let them bring those matters before you, okay? So this is Moshe charging the men and the judges that he has selected. Now look what he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16. He said, and I charge you what? Judges, Shafat. You know, that's the name of my eldest son. His name is Shafat Yah, which means judge of Yah, all right? And we call him Shafat for short. We call him Shafat for short. His nickname is Shafat, or his surname, Shafat. But his whole name is Shafat Yah, which means judge of Yah, okay? It says here, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge what? He says judge. He says Shafat. Pronounce sentence for or against to implicate to verdict or punishment by the extension to govern, to defend, to execute judgment, to reason, to plead, to rule. So this is talking about in rulership, in sentencing, vindicating, or punishing. He said, judge righteously between every man, his brother, and stranger. And stranger. The word stranger here is ger, which means a guest, a foreigner, sojourner, stranger, which is ger is a synonym of the Hebrew word goim, which is translated in the Greek and English as Gentile, okay? Let's go to 17. He said, you shall not respect persons. He said, you shall not respect persons in what? In mishpat, in verdict, favorably or unfavorably, in judgment. So that's what it's talking about. Respect the person is only referring to in judgment. In a verdict, favorably or unfavorably, whether that person is innocent or guilty. You don't respect the person of an individual in judgment. That's what it's talking about, in judgment. But you shall hear the small as well as the great, and you should not be afraid of the face of a man. That means if you got a rich man and he done wrong, you say, look, you did this, you were wrong, you're gonna pay back what you owe to this poor man, what you stole from him, the way you treated him, you're gonna give him that which you owe and more. And because that rich man looks at you with a hard face and he's looking at you all arrogant and all mean, like he wanna chop your head off or do something ill towards you, you don't be afraid of that. You don't be afraid of the person or the status of that individual. But you judge in righteousness, and you don't let the person or the status or the face or the countenance of that person cloud your judgment. Now look at this. Why would he say don't be afraid of their face? This word person here, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, I'm telling you, write these verses down for yourself. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. It says, you shall not have respect of person. We look up this word person. It is panim, all right, which means the face, okay? In the same verse of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, it says, you shall not be afraid of what? The face. That word face here is panim. So when we're talking about respect the person, he is also talking about the status of one, whether it be rich, whether it be poor, whether it be mighty, whether it be great. Their status, and he's also talking about their facial features, their countenance, their expression on their face as well. So he said, you don't be afraid of their person or of their face of a man, for judgment is Elohim's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So that word person is panim in the Hebrew, and also the word face in the Hebrew is panim. It's the same word. It's the same thing. It's very important to understand that. All right? Let's continue on. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Debraim 16, verse 19. This is what the scripture says. It says, you shall not rest. That means you shall not nata in the Hebrew, which means to twist or to spread out, to bend away, including more deflection, or incline, or to pervert, to overthrow, to cause to yield, or to turn aside. You shall not rest what? Judgment. Here goes the word mishpah again. You shall not respect person, the panim, neither take a gift, for a gift do blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Once again, we see this word, this terminology, respect the person, associated with mishpah, which is judgment. That's what it's referring to. That is the content of how that phrase should be used in judgment, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 4 through verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I want to begin at verse 4. This is talking about Jehoshaphat, okay? Verse 4 of 2 Chronicles chapter 19. This is what the word of Yah says. It says, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto and brought them back unto Yah Elohim of their fathers. And look what Jehoshaphat did in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 19. He said, and set judges. He set Shaphat. A Shaphat is a judge. A Shaphat is one that is set to pronounce sentence for or against, by implication to make verdict or to vindicate or to punish. All right, they are there to govern as well, to execute and to defend and to rule or to set judgment. Okay, that's what a Shaphat does. He said, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Yehuda, cities, city by city. And look what he said to the Shaphat. Look what he said to the judges. Take heed what you do, for you judge, you Shaphat, you judge or pronounce sentence not for man, but for Yah, who is with you in what? Judgment. He says, wherefore now, let the fear of Yah be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with Yah, our Elohim, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Now this is talking about judgment. These Shaphats judge it. Understand that they don't judge for Yah, but they judge for man. And Yah does not judge. When Yah makes judgment based on deeds and actions of an individual, he does not take into consideration whether this person is an Israelite or a Gentile, because the only thing he sees is that they have committed a criminal act against a commandment that he has given. So that doesn't mean because the Israelite breaks the law that Yah is going to be more favorable to the Israelite because he's an Israelite, and the Gentile that breaks the same law, he's just going to send him straight to hell. That's not how Yah judge. Yah judge in righteousness, and he does not take into consideration the person, whether he be poor, whether he be rich, his countenance, how he looks, or what he feels about the judgment or the verdict that has been made based on his deeds and on his actions. That's what respect the person is associated with. Now, look at here. Let's continue on. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 28. Miss Shelley, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21. The scripture says, to have respect of person is not good, for a price of bread, that would a man transgress. All right? So it's not good to have respect to persons. Because for anything, a piece of bread, even for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. A man will break or do something unjustly or unrighteous. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. Michelle, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. Tola Yah. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. He said, these things belong also to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in what? In judgment. Mishpah. Wherever you see this word, respect the person, is going to be reference to judgment, because that's what Yah is talking about. He's referencing respect the person to judgment. All right? So when Yah judges, he doesn't judge impartiality. He judges based on what has been done and the doing, okay? We're going to see that even in the Renew Covenant scriptures, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Once again, Romans chapter 2. Tadaya. Verse 1 through verse 16. Now, I want to read all this because this is talking about judging. Saul is writing this about judging. That's why I want to read from the beginning all the way down to the main verse of scripture that I want to emphasize to show you the context and the content of what this chapter is dealing with. It's dealing with those who judge and unrighteously. They judge a person and they do the same thing. That's what Saul was talking about. He said, therefore, thou art excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that what? Judgest. Wherein thou judgest another, and another thou condemnest thyself, for you that judgest and doeth the same. But we are sure that what? The judgment of Yah is according to what? Truth. It is according to truth. What is truth? That we said that your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. That's how Yah judged. He judged by his law that he has given. And every man is going to be judged by that same law. Now look at here. He said, but we are sure that the judgment of Yah is according to truth against them that commit such things. He said, and thinkest you this, O man, that judges them which do such thing and doeth the same, that you shall escape the judgment of Yah. This whole chapter is talking about judgment. Or despise of you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yah leadeth thee to repentance. He said, but after your hardness and impenetrated heart, treasure up against yourself wrath, against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah. Now look at the righteous judgment of Yah. Look what Yah is going to do in verse 6 of Romans chapter 2. Who will render, he will render to give away, that is give up or give back, to deliver, to perform, to requite, to restore, to reward, to recompense, to every man according learning, to his what? Deeds, his doing, his work, his action, his act. And see, that's how Yah judge. Yah doesn't judge by the countenance, the panim, the person, the status of the individual. He renders to every man according to their deeds. Yah's judgment is based on according to what we do and our deeds. He said to them who be patient, continuous in well-doing, seek for glory or the esteem and honor and immortality, everlasting eternal life. He said, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness in the nation and wrath. He said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of what? The Israelite first. He still puts it in perspective. He still names that punishment, judgment, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. He says, that is to the Israelite first. Just like salvation is to the Israelite first, judgment is to the Israelite first. This is what Yah says. He says that judgment must first begin at the house of Yah. So judgment is going to begin with Israel first. Now, does that mean that Yah has respect to person? Because salvation is to the Israelite first, and judgment is going to begin at the house of Yah first. It's going to begin with Israel first. Does that mean that he has partiality, or he respect the person? No, he don't. And that goes to show, that analogy goes to show that God doesn't have respect a person when it comes to judgment. Hosea, we read in Amos chapter 3 verse 1 that God says, out of all the families of the earth, Israel, you're the only one that I have known. He said, and because of that, I'm going to punish you for your iniquity. So God doesn't have respect the person when it comes to judgment, whether it comes to vindication or whether it comes to punishment. If a person does right and they are wrongly accused, Yah is going to vindicate that person. That's why the scripture tells us that vengeance belongs to Yah, that he will repay. You don't have to vindicate yourself. If you're doing right and you're accused of doing wrong, Yah's going to vindicate you because Yah doesn't have respect to person when it comes to judgment. He judged in righteousness. That's what respect the person is referring to. So he says that tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil of the Israelite first and also the Gentile. So as salvation is to the Israelite first, also tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil is to the Israelite first as well. Yah has no respect to person when it comes to his judgment. He judges in righteousness. He judges in equity. He said, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good to the Israelite first and also to the Gentile. Look what he says in verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with Yah. This is talking about judgment. This is what it's talking about. Mishpah, Shafat, judge and judgment. Equity, justice. Someone receiving the just sentencing or the just punishment or the just vindication based on what they have done, based on their action and their deeds. That's what respect the person is referring to. So when I talk about the injustice and the perpetration of the white agenda, the superiority that has brainwashed the masses of people, that has rewritten history, not only Israelite history, but the history of the Native Americans and history in general. Those who are responsible for this were not black men, they were white men. They were Caucasians, Europeans, who devised this diabolical scheme under the influence of Hasatan, whether you like it or not, whether you want to deal with it or not. And if you write me and tell me that Yah has no respect to person, that means Yah's going to judge a whole nation of people that have done injustice, that have done wickedness, not only to his people, but to humanity as a whole, and has rewritten history and has perpetrated lies and painted the likeness of their own gods in the law and in the righteous ordinance of Yah Almighty. And that's why I say people use this verse, they don't even understand the reformation behind what this verse is even talking about. They have no idea or no clue. Let's continue on. I'm going to read some more. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. 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 I want to read through verse 25. This is what the scripture says again. It says, whatsoever you do, he said, do it heartily, as to Yah, and not unto men, knowing that Yah shall reward. You shall receive the reward of inheritance for your service unto Yah, or to Yahshua the Messiah. He said, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. So this is talking about vindication. This is talking about righteous judgment or verdict based on the good that someone has done and the evil that someone has done. That's what respect the person is talking about. Let's go to James. James chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. And James explains this respect the person. He explains this very, very good. Very, very good. James chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. He said, my brethren, have not the faith of Yahshua HaMashiach and the esteem and abstain with respect of persons. He said, for is there come into your assembly a man with gold rings and goodly apparel. And there come in a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial in yourself, and become what? Judges. Judges. So once again, this context, or the main idea of this verse, is talking about judgment. Your perception of how you judge a situation. Have you not become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren. Have not y'all chosen the poor of this world, the rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not the rich man oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor even as you love yourself. You do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. He said, whosoever keep shall keep the whole law and get offended in one point, he is guilty of them all. So he shows the analogy. A person wearing good clothes, expensive clothes, and a poor man, and you tell the good man to come up here, and you tell the poor man to sit on your footstool. That is having respect of persons. Now, you judge them in righteousness. You don't judge them with an evil conscience or with evil intentions. But you judge them in equity and in righteousness. Tolayah. Let's go to Peter, chapter 1, verse 17. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Pray that this teaching is a great inspiration to your heart. We're going to run through some scriptures talking about y'all having respect to men. All right? I'm going to show you there's a difference between respect to person and y'all having respect towards individuals. Hallelujah. It says here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, he said, and if you call on the Father who without respect of person. Now look at the Father. He is without respect of person, but look what he does. He judgeth, mishpah, shafat in the Hebrew. He judgeth, that word judgeth means distinguish, decide, condemn, punish, determine, judge, question, sentence, or think. He judges according to what? Every man's work, every man's deed, every man's labor, his actions, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. So when Yah talks about not having respect to person, he's talking about respect to person when it comes to judgment, all right? Now let's look at some scriptures talking about Yah having respect towards individuals. I want to go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 5. Now look at this here. It says, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof, and Yah had what? He had respect unto Abel. The word says that when Abel brought the first thing of his flock, he brought that which was choice, the choice of his flock before Yah. And he offered that as a sacrifice. He offered that as an offering. The scripture says that Yah had respect unto Abel. He had respect unto Abel. This Hebrew word is sha'ah, which means to gaze, to consider, to inspect, to have compassion, to regard. That's what it means. As looking around in amazement, Yah was amazed by the offering that Abel gave. He had respect unto Abe's offering and to his offering. Not only did he have respect for the offering that Abel gave, but he had respect unto Abel himself. He said, but unto Cain, his offering. He had not respect. So because Abel did that which was right in the sight of Yah, and Cain did that which was wrong in the sight of Yah, does that mean that Yah has respect to person? Because he had respect to Abel's sacrifice and had no respect to Cain's sacrifice. Does that mean that Yah is impartial in his judgment? Does that mean that Yah did not judge righteously? Maybe Yah should have said to Cain, okay, well, I know your sacrifice wasn't like Abel, so I'm going to have the same respect for your sacrifice as I had for Abel's sacrifice. No. That doesn't mean that Yah is unjust. That doesn't mean that Yah has respect to person because he looked at Abel's sacrifice and he was in amazement of it. And he had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice, but to Cain, he did not have any respect to. And look at this. And Cain was very rough in what? His panim, his face fell. His face fell. Did not Moshe tell the judges that he appointed in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 9? He said, don't fear their panim, their face. That word panim, or face, is the same Hebrew word that is associated with the word respect as well. Or persons, I mean persons. We look up that word person, it's going to mean panim, or face. We look up the word face in the Hebrew, it means panim, which means the countenance. So the panim, or the person of Cain, fell. His countenance fell. He became angry. He became mad. He became hostile. And that was the very same thing that Moshe instructed the judges of Israel. He said, look, he said, don't you be afraid. Don't fear their face, their panim, their person. And Yah doesn't have respect to your countenance or how you look when he judges you, because he's going to judge you in righteousness. So we see the analogy. Yah respected Abel, and he did not respect Cain. Does that mean that Yah has respect to person? No, it does not, because his judgment was just based on the action and the deed that was done. He didn't respect the person of Cain because Cain did what was unacceptable in the sight of Yah, so Yah didn't have respect to him. But when Abel did which was acceptable in the sight of Yah, Yah had respect to Abel's sacrifice and to Abel himself. Now look at this here. Let's continue on. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through verse 25. I want to read this expeditiously. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through verse 25. It said, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried. And their cry came unto Yah by reason of their bondage, and Yah heard their groaning. And Yah remembered, he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yah, Elohim, looked upon the children of Israel, and Elohim, or Yah, had respect unto them. Yah had respect unto Israel because he remembered his covenant that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And by reason of their crime, by reason of their groaning, by reason of their complaint, in reference to the bondage and the slavement that they were under, Yah had respect to them. How do we expect Yah to have respect to us and we don't cry out by reason of our bondage, by reason of our captivity? We have become comfortable as being slaves, as being bondmen in this Egypt and Babylonian society, whereby we don't even cry out unto Yah. We don't even cry out for Yeshua or for the salvation of Yah. So how do we expect Yah to have respect unto us as a people when we don't even cry out to Yah by reason of our bondage and captivity? Let's continue on. I want to read this in the haste. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28, and we're going to open up the phone lines, too. I'm going to have some time to open up the phone lines for those of you that are in tune to the broadcast today. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. This is very important. I want to read this, too. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. This is Solomon's prayer. He said, yet have you what respect unto my prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. And Yah, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which your servant prayeth before you this day. So Solomon knew that by reason of his supplication, by reason of his cry, by reason of his prayer, he asked Yah to have respect unto the prayer of his servant. The same scenario that happened with Israel in Egypt, by reason of their abundance, by reason of their crying and their groaning, Yah remembered the covenant that he made with their forefathers, and he had respect unto them. Hallelujah. Let's see. I want to go back one. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9. I want to read this too. Let me see. Did I read this already? Let me see if I read this. Okay. Yeah. Let's look at this here. I want to read Leviticus chapter 26, verse 2. It says, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, I am Yah, your Most High. Verse 3 said, and you shall walk in my statutes and keep my covenant and do them. He said, and I will give you the rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees in the field shall yield her fruit. So he's given all the blessings that are associated with us walking in the statutes of the Most High, and keeping his commandment and keeping his Sabbath and referencing his sanctuary. Let's skip down to verse 9 of Leviticus chapter 26. This is also one of the benefits of us keeping the commandments of Yah, walking in his statutes and keeping his Sabbaths. This is one of the benefits of that as well. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9 says this. It says, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. So Yah says, if you keep my commandments, you honor my Sabbath and reference my sanctuary, he said, I will have respect unto you. That's what Yah said. Not respect for your person, but respect unto you. For your obedience, for your steadfastness, and for walking in the righteous ways of the Most High. I want to read Psalms chapter 74, verse 20. And I want to write one more verse after that, and we're going to end this broadcast, or we're going to open up the phone lines. What are we going to do? We're going to open up the phone lines, okay? Psalms chapter 74. Psalms chapter 74, verse 20. It says this. He says, have respect unto your covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the inhabitation of cruelty, of violence, of wrongness, of unrighteousness, of oppression and injustice. And that's what we need to have, ask Yah. Yah, have respect unto your covenant. Remember the covenant you gave our forefathers, and have respect unto us. Hear us as a byproduct of our bondage, of captivity, the injustice that is happening in the world today. For in dark places, in the secret places of the earth, are full of the inhabitation of those who are full of violence, those who are full of injustices, those who are full of oppression and unjust gain. That's what cruelty means, that word cruelty. Hamas. Hamas in the Hebrew. It means violence, wrong, by unjust gain, damage, false, injustice, oppressive, unrighteousness, violence, against done violent dealing, wrong. The scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of the darkness, rulers in high places. These are the places where this cruelty and this unjust gain and the oppression, it flows from these dark places that are in the earth today. And those that inhabit these places, they are men in a nation of cruelty. And we need Yah to have respect unto his people and respect unto his covenant. My last verse is Psalms chapter 138, verse 6. Psalms 138, verse 6. I pray this teaching was a great inspiration to your heart. We're going to open up the phone lines right after this scripture verse here. It says, though Yah be high, Though y'all be high, y'all is high. That word there is room, to be high, to rise or to rot, to raise. He is high. He said, yet have he respect. Y'all has respect unto the humble, the lowly, those that are depressed, those who are humble. But to the proud, he knoweth from afar off. So don't tell me that y'all don't have respect, all right? Do not tell me that y'all don't have respect. He does have respect, but he doesn't have respect of persons when it comes to righteous judgment. He will not consider the poor. He will not consider the mighty. He will not consider the rich. He will not consider the poor in that regard. If they have done wrong, they have transgressed his commandment, then the only thing that we can ask is for forgiveness and his mercy. Just ask for his mercy. Say, y'all, I've sinned. I know whatever the sentence you give me, I deserve it, but I ask for mercy, y'all. Just extended me your mercy. He will show you his mercy. I pray this teaching was a great inspiration to your heart. I am Rahab Pathuel, Ben Yaakov. You're listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. We want to go ahead and open up the phone lines. We had a few callers, but some of them went offline. For whatever reason, we do pray that the teaching was a great inspiration to your heart and that you were blessed during the duration of this teaching. If you'd like to call in, the number is 760-283-4615. You'll be on the air live with Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Join with you on this precious Shabbat day, which we have come once again to gather as a holy convocation according to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through verse 4. Tell us that 6 days shall we labor. The seventh day is the Sabbath rest of Yah. And you shall have a Migrah Kodesh, or Kodesh Migrah, which is a holy convocation. Migrah in the Hebrew means a set apart meaning, called out meaning, assembling of persons, okay? We have a number here, 704-806, area code 704-806. I'm going to bring you on the air live. Shabbat Shalom, area code 704-806. You are on the air live with Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom to you. Area code 704-806. Shalom. Shalom. This is Rahab Ben Yaakov.
Hello?
Yeah, shalom.
Hey, brother Pat.
Oh, hey, Brother Randy, how you doing?
Doing good. What about yourself?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying this blessed Shabbat that the Most High has granted unto us once again. And I just want to appreciate you calling in again, once again, and listening to the broadcast. I hope that the word and the teaching is benefiting you and everything of that nature.
Okay.
All right, my brother. May Yah barak you. May he keep you and bless you. And we say Shabbat Shalom to you in the mighty name of Yahshua.
Tell everybody I say hey.
All right. That's Brother Randy there calling in once again. Told Yah for him and tune into the broadcast once again. If there are any other listeners out there, if you'd like to call in at this time, the number is 760-283-4615. And you'll be on the air live with Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov, join with you on this Shabbat day. Once again, we want to send greetings to our Israelite family scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, those who are sighing and crying out against the wickedness that is being perpetrated in this hour. And we long for the coming of our King, Yahshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Todah Yah. So that, yeah. Hallelujah. You see, we're going to play a few songs and wait for some more calls to come in. If you'd like to call, once again, the number is 760-283-4615, and you will be on the air live with Rahab Pathuel Ben Yaakov.
You know, there was one day in the ministry of Yahshua HaMashiach, and his disciples came to him. They said, Master, HaMashiach, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray in this manner. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is what we should pray right here. Yeah, come on, put your hands together. Yeah.
Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kingdom of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us evil. You are the power and the kingdom forever. We pray that you come.
Let your
will
be
done. I'm so proud of you, we praise. Our Father, we got it. Heaven, hallowed be your name. We give the thanks, we give the honor, and we give it.
We want to say Shabbat Shalom to all of you, our friends and listeners. Pray that the teacher was a great inspiration to your heart. At this time, we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast for this Shabbat day. It's been such a great pleasure being joined with you, our friends and listeners, throughout the United States and around the world. If you'd like to write me, you can write me at truerendantministry@gmail.com. You can call me. My phone number is 573-944-6786. We have a website, which is the website address is yhwhremnant.org. It's been such a great pleasure being joined with you, our brothers and sisters, today. May the Most High continue to bless you and keep you in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. We say to you, Shabbat Shalom.